Every one of us today in this room, everybody who is present wants to be happy. I don't know anybody on earth that doesn't want to be happy, because the alternative is sadness. The alternative is grief. And so, since that is the only alternative, I know that everyone wants to be happy. We are on a quest for happiness. That is something that bonds all of us together. It hurts us when we see people who are upset. It should hurt us, at least. It should bring us pain when we see those who are in pain. And so what do? We try to bring happiness into their lives. We try to bless them. And while we're doing that, we look for outlets to make ourselves happy in this life. I know that's something that bonds all of us together. Something we're all trying to do is to be happy, to have that feeling of joy. And we're made that way. Our brains are geared to be happy. There are chemicals, there are hormones, there are things in our bodies that are triggered to bring out a good feeling. So that's the way God made us, is to have that experience, to have happiness in our lives. God designed our bodies for that. And we know that if we look at the sort of this flow chart about happiness, and this really puts all of us in the same boat as we're striving for these things. We really answer the question, are you happy? So you either answer yes or no. And so, of course, if you answer yes, you come down here and you just keep doing whatever you're doing. If you're happy, then say, well, then you would just keep doing that. But if you answer no, then you come down here and says, well, do you want to be happy? Well, if you answer that, well, no, I don't want to be happy, then we just keep doing whatever you're doing. Just keep doing it. But, of course, if you answer that question with yes, then you have to change something. There are a lot of people in this world, even though they're trying to be happy, even though it bonds all of us together, they keep doing things that do not bring about happiness and wonder why they're not happy. They live a certain way their whole lives, and they're miserable people. They're bitter. They're angry at the world. And they say, I'm not happy. He said, well, what have you done to change it? Well, I'm not really interested in changing anything I do. See, what needs to happen is everybody else needs to change. If mom would change, if dad would change, if the boss would change, if that person would change, if politics would change, if everything else in life changed, then I would be happy. It's everybody else that needs to do something different. But I don't need to do anything different. I don't need to make any changes. What I do is exactly what I ought to be doing. I know everybody wants to be happy. And there are some formulas out there for us to achieve that. When you go about your daily activities, when you watch television, when you turn on the radio, when you look on the internet, you are presented with some alternatives. You're presented with some solutions. Because the person, they know there are people out there, are you happy? They know that there's a big category of no. So the world is saying, hey, if you want to switch from that to this, I got something for you. And of course, the thing they're offering is will make somebody very rich if you are to do those things. Well, there's a lot of things out there to get you to move from that to this. And they know that if that's your answer, they say you want to be happy, and you say yes, and they say, okay, change something. And here's what I want you to experience. You're not happy, and this is how you're going to be happy. The world is giving you some options every single day. Satan gave Eve an option to be happy. Go all the way back in the garden. God said, don't eat of this one tree. Satan comes to Eve and says, you know what? God limited you because he really doesn't want you to be happy. You see, because if you eat of that tree, you're going to be like him. And he doesn't want people to be like him. And so, When you eat that tree, your eyes are going to be open and life is going to get a lot better. Life's going to be great. Don't listen to what God says. Don't be obedient to Him. Eat that tree. Eat that fruit from that tree. And so she thought, well, great. God tells me this, but you know what's going to be even better is if I do what the serpent says. And we know that didn't work out. Because Satan was telling a lie, because Jesus said Satan is the father of lies. And her eyes and the eyes of her husband were open. And they were ashamed of what they did. And they hid from God. And Satan really didn't deliver on his promises. One of the things, worldly options that we have about how to be happy is that, well, the option the world says is you can get high. You can use substances to change the chemicals in your brain. You will use things, take things that get into your body that will change your brain. Because your brain is kind of sad and you're thinking sad thoughts and everything is bad in life. And so if you use this, you're going to get a lot happier. You're going to feel a lot better. What it really is just, it's an artificial happiness. It's not real happiness. It's not contentment. It's not any of those things. What it is, it's an artificial happiness. It's a temporary situation. Because there is a lot of pain in life, if you haven't noticed. People say, I have pain in my life, and you know what? If I use this substance, if I put this in my body, then all that pain goes away. And then they realize when the temporary solution dissolves, they wake up the next morning, you know what? The pain's still there. The pain is still there because you cannot use a thing to solve an emotional problem. People think they can. I have a spiritual problem. I have an emotional problem. You know what? I can use a thing and that's going to fix an emotional problem. I was in a conversation once with a good friend of mine that said he was having a problem with his daughter and they weren't getting along and they were having a lot of problems. And he said, well, I don't know why we're not getting along. I don't know why we're having these problems. I buy her this. I buy her that. I buy her that. She's got all these things in her life. I don't know why we're not getting along. And that's what I told him. I said, because you're trying to use a thing to solve an emotional problem. You're trying to buy your way into a relationship. And you can't do that. Things don't fix emotional problems. Things don't fix spiritual problems. Putting substances into your body to heal an emotional pain doesn't work. This chart is from the Centers for Disease Control. A preacher didn't put this together. This is from the government. Talking specifically here about alcohol. And saying, well, these groups don't need to drink at all. Pregnant women, people under 21. They consider one drink to be 5 ounces of wine, one can of beer, or 1.5 ounces of liquor. They say that 38 million adults in America drink too much. The preacher didn't say that. The government said that. And for men, that's 15 or more of these drinks. So that's one drink in this category. 15 or more. For women, that's 8 or more in a week. So it's about 2 a day. CDC says that's too much. A lot of people do that without thinking. No problem. I don't have a problem. Everything's fine. CDC says at that point you are hurting your body. You are hurting your brain. You are hurting your liver. You're hurting the thing that God gave you. For what? What did it do? What did it solve? This is voluntary, of course. Nobody's forcing this. They said only 1 in 6 has talked about it with a health professional. Why? Because, again, they don't have a problem. Because every night I need to drink this to feel better. There's a there's a pain in my life, and if I use this, it'll go away. And it never does. I wonder why. So one drink didn't let it go away, and two drinks didn't do the trick either, so maybe three will work next time. Now my body's kind of built up resistance to it, so maybe I need to drink a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, because I've got this problem, and it's got to go away. And then we have, again, this is from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, not from Preacher. And it talks about, again, another worldly stuff. The world's saying, well, take a drug. Forget alcohol, let's take drugs. And that'll make you happy. That will solve your pain. That will make you feel better. And so we talk about larger substance abuse. It says people who are addicted to alcohol are twice as likely to use heroin. People addicted to marijuana, 3 times as likely to use heroin. 15 times for cocaine. 40 times more likely to use heroin if you are addicted to painkillers. We have medicinal alcohol. We have, in many places now, medicinal marijuana. We're not talking today about whether or not that should be used as medicine. Some say yes, some say no. That's not what we're talking about today. Then we have, of course, people who use painkillers for medicine. You go to the hospital, you have other pains, you take different medicine for that. We're not talking about medicine today. We're talking about paths to happiness. We're talking about voluntary use. We're talking about changing your brain, altering the way God made you to feel good, and hurting your body, changing your chemical makeup, which then causes your brain to crave those things because you changed your brain to want it. A lot of people say these are, well, they say gateway drugs. That if I take this, I'm never going to take heroin. If I take this, I'm never going to take something else. If I take this, I'm never... And scientists can debate that. Again, this is people, this is from a national institute. This isn't from a preacher. But the fact of the matter is, you take one thing and it doesn't do the trick, what are you going to do? The temptation is to do the harder thing. And either you build up an immunity, you build up resistance, and that doesn't work anymore. What's the next temptation? I need to do something a little bit more than that because it doesn't do the trick anymore. Your body will change to adapt. Now I have to do something more. Now I have to do something more. When you see people on the news riddled with methamphetamine, when you see the situations with the drug use, when you see the pictures of the mug shots, when you see all the abuse, when you see the domestic abuse, when you see the DUIs, when you see the car accidents, and the millions of people that are killed every day with these things, does that look like happiness? When you see things that go on in relationships because of the use of these things, does that seem like happiness? Did it really get you to where you wanted to go? Voluntary use. Why do these things voluntarily? Because, well, it'll make the pain go away, or it'll just make me happier than I am right now. Just a little bit happier. Because we're all trying to be happier. We're all on a quest for happiness. What's the Bible answer to these things? Proverbs 20, verse 1, why does a mocker strong drink, a brawler, whoever is intoxicated by it, is not wise? I like the New Testament verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, or verse 18, rather. And do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Here's the contrast of substance over to what God wants. Paul said, in not so many words, but you can be filled with one of two things. You can be filled spiritually and understand the great joy, contentment, and true happiness that comes from that. Or you can be filled with a substance, and it doesn't get you there. He said, don't be filled with something else, a substance, a created thing. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Find true happiness there. Worldly options we have, one is to, of course, to get high. The other one is to get rich. You want to be really happy in life, you just need a little bit more money. If I had a little bit more money, then I would be happy. You know, if I ever won the lottery, I'd be happy. If I ever was the CEO, if I was ever that Major League Baseball player, if I was ever in those situations, then I would be happy. So, we can just look again. What is the result of that? What is the result? If that were the case, then I guess all those people, the CEOs, the Major League Baseball players, the lottery winners, all those people would have healthy relationships. They would never get divorced. They would never go to prison. They never declare bankruptcy. That would all have to be true, right? Because money solved everything. Well, we know when you look at the statistics, you look at the families, you look at those situations, we have sometimes on a higher rate than the rest of us a lot of those problems. You see resentment, you see jealousies, you see all of those sorts of things because somebody said, nothing else matters but the money, or somebody said, I have pain in my life. I hate the fact that I'm limited in things I can buy. I hate the fact that my child can't have this thing that somebody, some company made last week, and he just has to have it. And I don't like that. That's pain in my life. Somebody says, there's a car that I have to have, a house I have to live in, and that hurts me. That's pain. So to solve this pain, I gotta have more money. I gotta get rich. And the world out there says, here's a get-rich-quick scheme. Here's a way to be wealthy. Here's a way to solve all of your financial problems. And some of these problems, of course, are in your own mind. But does that work? If that were true happiness with gaining money, then how could you have happy poor people? Go to South America. Go to places in Africa where there is not civil war, where there is not that type of pain going on that they cannot control. Go to these places where they don't have shoes. Go to these places where they don't know where the next meal is coming from. And you see people, children running around happy as they can be. Saw a picture online not long ago. I believe it was on Facebook. A friend of mine that has done a lot of traveling around the world doing mission work and things like that. He had a picture of a boy who was sitting on the dirt. He's holding a string. It was like kind of a rope, I guess. It was a couple of feet long. And he had an empty water bottle where he had poked holes in each end of the water bottle and taken the caps of another bottle, a bigger bottle, and tied four of the caps to each end of the bottle to make a little toy, a little car. And so he had an empty water bottle, plastic bottle, these two little caps and a little string, and the biggest smile on his face in the world. And the caption in the picture was, he was writing about this boy that he had met. He says, one of the happiest kids I've ever seen in my life. And this is the only toy he has, and he made it out of stuff he found in the trash. So if money solves everything and money brings about happiness, and I've got to have one more thing to be happy, then why is that kid happy? He shouldn't be happy if you believe the lie that money fixes everything. If all my pain can go away if I just get happier, why are those people happy? But of course, we have the Bible answer for the idea that you just get rich quick, and money solves everything. Hebrews 13:5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Proverbs 21, verse 20, there's precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. That first verse, Hebrews 13:5, makes me think of the story of a poet that had everything. He had money, he had fame, he had success, but he wasn't happy. An angel comes to him and tells the poet, he says, why aren't you happy? The poet said, I don't know. He says, I have everything, but it doesn't seem to work. It doesn't seem to fix everything. I just don't feel happy. And he said, will you give me happiness? And the angel said, I think I can. So the next day, the angel kind of did experience like Job had. He took everything away from him. He took away his success. He took away the money. He took away his wife. He took away his family. He took all of it away and went back to him about a month later. He said, how do you feel? And he said, what did you do? He said, I wanted to be happy. I told you I wasn't happy, and you came to me, and instead of giving me happiness, you took everything away. Angel said, I know. I'll come back later. So a few weeks go by, and all of a sudden the man gets back his money. All of a sudden the man gets back his family. The man gets back his wife. The man gets back everything he had. The angel comes back to him. He said, how you doing? He said, I'm the happiest man in the world. Because now I got my money, now I got my family, now I've got my wife. The angel said, I didn't give you anything. I didn't give you anything. All I did was show you what you already had. And that made me think there of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. The world offers a path to happiness. It's get high. The world offers a path to happiness. It's get rich. The world offers a path to happiness that says, get even. Get even. There are people in life that bring you a lot of pain. There are people in life that are going to hurt you. People are capable of doing two things. Changing their mind or losing their mind. Some do it deliberately. Some do it by accident. Some do it because of disease. But people are capable of that. And when they do that, they hurt you. And our instinct is to get even. And the world says, go for it. Do it. Get even. That's going to make you happy. If you can unleash your rage on that person, if you can hurt them twice as bad as they hurt you, you're going to feel so much better. That's what Satan is telling us. You want to get happy? Get even. Get back. I love this quote I attributed to somebody. I couldn't find who said it originally. Weak people revenge. Strong people forgive. Intelligent people ignore. Revenge isn't a sign of strength. Revenge is a sign of weakness. Revenge says you can't handle it. You're not strong enough. The only thing you have to do is to act like that person. But you said they were doing the wrong thing. So all you can come up with is doing the wrong thing. Doesn't seem to be particularly intelligent. Doesn't seem to be particularly strong to react that way. But the world said, if you're going to get happy, you got to get even. But then we have a Bible answer for getting even. Romans 12 and verse 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You go back to the Old Testament, which is quoted in the New Testament, of course, about how we love each other. In Leviticus 19, verse 18, you shall not take revenge, do not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The world says get even to get happy. The Bible says only God does that. Only God has a right to that. We also know from that same chapter, Romans chapter 12, never return evil for evil. Always return good. Is that easy? No. That's the hard thing to do. That's the difficult thing to do. But we know that's what Jesus did. That's how we act like Jesus. The myth of happiness is, I will be happy when I get what I want. That's the myth of happiness. I will be happy if I get whatever comes into my mind that I want. If I can just have the next thing, then I'm going to feel happiness. And people pursue it, pursue it, pursue it, and they never quite get it. They never have enough. It's something that they can never obtain. We got to stop thinking that way. That happiness is simply the accumulation of things. And I can finally get there, and then I will be satisfied. Ask yourself, well, what do you base your happiness? Ask yourself that question. On what do you base your happiness? Be honest with yourself. Do you rely on others for your happiness? In other words, do you rely on compliments? Are you not happy unless somebody says something to you that's nice? You can't get through a day unless somebody acknowledges something you said, something you're wearing, something. If you don't hear that, you're not going to be happy. Does it come in gifts? Come in any kind of affirmation? In other words, it's other people's responsibility to make you happy. Is that how you operate? Is that how you look at life? What if your happy thing, whatever it is that, as you answer the first question, thinking of that thing, if that were taken away, what would you do? How would you feel? Because you see, if you put all of your happiness on a thing, if you put all your happiness, for instance, in substances we talked about earlier, and all of a sudden those substances are taken away, you notice how people react. They say, oh, I don't have a drinking problem. I don't have a problem with that. Fine. Take it out of their life for a week and see how happy they get. If you decide that money is the source of your happiness, that's the answer to number one. Like the rich young ruler that comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, great, you haven't disobeyed the Ten Commandments. Can you distance yourself from your money? And he said, I can't do it. So he went away sorrowful. So you answer the first question, then you ask, well, what if that thing were taken away? How happy would you be? Because then we start thinking, maybe I put my happiness in the wrong place. Maybe I'm starting to put my happiness in things that disappear, things to be taken away. If I'm not addicted to things, if I'm not addicted to substances, if I don't rely on those things to find relief in my life, if it's taken away, that doesn't bother me. We can talk about other paths to happiness. For some, it's attention. For some, it's food, sugar. We could go and list a whole lot of other things. But if those are not the primary sources of happiness, when those things are taken away, when there's an adjustment that's made, it's okay. I can go on. I can still be happy. The true source of happiness. Happiness is found in the Creator, not the created. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 1 when he said all those the Gentiles had gone away and started worshiping the creature instead of the Creator. They worshiped the things that were made instead of the Maker. And they were wrong. They misused the things that God had made. Proverbs 16 verse 20, he who gives attention to the word will find good. And blessed is he who trusts the Lord. Many times in the Bible, the word happiness or happy can be interchanged with the word bless. Many times, simply that word blessed, when it refers to what comes to us, just simply means happiness, or to be happy. So you could very well change that verse, Proverbs 16:20, to say, "And happy is he who trusts the Lord." The Lord doesn't change. The Lord doesn't go anywhere. The Lord provides that true contentment. Proverbs 29, verse 18, "Happy is he who keeps the law." In Proverbs, referring to the old law of Moses, he said, you know what brings happiness to a person is to obey that, not to turn and go in another direction and say, well, no, true happiness is over here, not really what God wants. See, that's the fatal mistake that Eve made. True happiness is not in obeying God. True happiness is not relying on Him. True happiness is over here. The Bible says otherwise. Is the Lord the answer to the first question? Is your faith included in that first question? Because if it is, that's where your happiness is. Everything else can go away. Everything else will go away. You'll still be happy. That's the real path. That's the real direction we all have to go. And all those other things become meaningless. They become secondary. They're all put in their proper place. Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's where you'll find, of course, true contentment, true happiness in life, because you know you'll be saved eternally. You go to bed every night knowing that you're a child of God, that you're going to be saved. You can truly rest. When your sin, you know your sins are washed away, you know that you are forgiven, you can find true contentment and happiness in life. If you don't have that contentment, you don't have that peace, we encourage you today to make that right, to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to have His blood wash away your sins. If you just need prayers this morning, if there's something on your heart that's a burden, you say, I've been pursuing all the worldly things concerning happiness, and I'm just not happy. It isn't working, and the reason I'm not happy is because my faith is weak. If that's what you need to say this morning, and we'll pray with you and help you in any way that we can with that, I encourage you also to come out while we stand and sing.